Back on the Mighty 690 here on this Wednesday morning. It is Wildcat Wednesday, joined in studio by the K-State Extension District's Jerry Guerin and Jacob Weber. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good to have you guys in here with us here this morning, as we always do on Wednesdays. So, Jacob, I know you've been getting a lot of calls about it, so let's just dive right into it here. I know I'm sure some listeners out there are curious as well, but and as am I. Twig girdlers.
Twig girdlers, or little beavers.
Oh, goodness.
I had one person call them little beavers. And twigs falling out of, in particular, pecan, elm, hackberry, those three species seem to be more commonly, in quotes, affected by twig girdlers. Twig girdler is an insect. It's a beetle. And this, by the way, is a female thing, not a male thing. Males don't do this. The male twig girdlers don't do it. Okay. That doesn't exempt us humans, males, from any of the guilts that have been laid upon us over the thousands of years. Inappropriately.
Certainly. Yeah, not generalizing here. We're talking about the beetle themselves.
Jacob, you might want to get back to the twig girdler.
before we digress any further.
Well, it's true.
It's true.
It's a female thing. A twig girdler, the female is laying eggs in those small branches out at the end of the limbs. The diameter of the branch is probably never going to exceed the diameter of what is commonly called a beginner's training pencil, about not quite 3/8 of an inch across, something like that. And they're very consistent, and the reason for the consistency is that's typically the size of the mandibles of the twig girdler female. A mandible is a chewing instrument, a sawing. They come in sideways from the insect's face, and they can saw right through wood with these very sharp mandibles. Mm. And, of course, also the width of the insect, the spread of its legs, determines where that notch is going to be made. And the reason for the notch is very important, because the larvae that hatch out from the eggs are very small, look like a grain of rice, but in a miniature form. When that larva hatches out, it feeds on the inside tissue of that branch, and the wood and the cambium, phloem, very nutritious for that little larva. But it cannot survive in a sap-filled environment. So the notch is there to sever the sap-conducting tissues. But with the twig girdler, her mandibles are not quite long enough to cut all the way through. So she just cuts a notch around the branch, and it remains in the tree until it gets a little windy, usually sometime in mid to late September, early October, and get a little gust of wind. And those branches, that little fiber, or wood fiber that joins the branch, severed branch to the tree, breaks, and the branch falls out of the tree into the ground. And that's another important thing, because that branch has to be lying on the ground for the larva to complete its life cycle. In other words, it feeds inside that twig until the following spring, and then exits the branch and into the soil to pupate and become an adult twig girdler again the following year.
And Jacob, I've heard several people ask you, they see all these twigs laying in the yard, and it almost looks like they've been cut off, but people are always concerned, is this going to damage the tree?
The answer is no. It's not significant. It's just what I call a gee whiz. You put your hands in your pocket and you say, gee whiz, and you go on with your life. You can pick up the branches that fall, and you can toss them in a burn pile and burn them and destroy the insect if you wish. That doesn't stop the twig girdler, because the twig girdlers are all over the place, and there's plenty of them that are going to survive, that are going to come back next year, and they're very strong flyers, and they'll fly to your trees, and you'll have it again next year. Maybe not as much, or maybe more. It all depends on the number of twig girdlers that survive from one year to the other. And it's not a serious issue unless, of course, you're growing pecans commercially. You're in the nut production. And then every terminal that is lost is potential crop loss. And if you have a significant number of twig girdlers, you can have reduction in the crop. However, since pecan growers are controlling pecan weevil about the same time the twig girdlers are going to be present, the job is taken care of. You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, so it won't necessarily, you know, like obviously you said, if you're looking to commercially use the tree, but it won't like kill the tree.
Oh, no, far from it. You won't even notice any difference in the tree. The tree will quickly regrow what was lost. And it's just an interesting thing, kind of neat. It's a gee whiz.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, I've never heard of a bug being a central part of their life cycle, knocking off bits and pieces of branches, you know, this little twigs, and then you find a pile of sticks in your backyard. I would have never looked twice at it, but...
Well, the peculiar thing is you pick the branch up and, you know, say, hey, it's been cut off. It's been... that's a very smooth cut, too.
Yeah.
And that's strange.
What's going on? The attack of my trees. Well, by the time you pick up that branch and look at that, the adult twig girdlers are long gone.
Yep. Yeah, and if anyone out there listening right now has a question or any concerns about trees or maybe a twig girdler that you may have suspected in your backyard, our phone number is 620-251-6909. The phone lines are open for you to ask Jacob any questions this morning. So any final notes on the twig girdlers?
That's it.
That's about it. Well, Jerry, I know you've got three courses over there. Let's just go ahead and knock out one of them.
Yeah, okay.
That we got coming up here
I'll
for you guys.
I'll talk about the grazing school, which is coming up on October 27th.
Okay.
So it'll be here before we know it. It's already October, hard to believe. But this will be a good meeting. It'll actually be at the Edna Community Senior Center. We haven't had a meeting at Edna for a while. But there is going to be some field tours, kind of some people close there to Edna. So that's kind of how that location got set. But if you're interested in this meeting, there is a registration fee of $20 per person. You can pay that at the door. But there's going to be a lot of good things at this meeting. So just to kind of run through the topics that will be covered. So we'll start at 9 in the morning with registration, but then we'll go ahead and go into goals and resources. And then Brian Pugh, who is a Northeast Area Agronomist from OSU, he's going to talk a few things. Do we have a phone call?
I believe we do have a phone call, so we'll pause on that. We'll get more back to the chorus here. Good morning, caller. Do you have a question for Jacob and Jerry?
Yes, is it a good time to transplant my roses here?
Not now. Wait till it's dormant. Wait till after Thanksgiving. Well, I'd say wait. The soil's not frozen. You can do it before Christmas. But right now, just go find something else to do, but don't transplant your roses here yet. Okay?
Oh, very good. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
You're very welcome. Thanks for calling in. And anyone else has a question, again, 251-6909. All right, go ahead.
Okay, yeah, Brian Pugh from Oklahoma State. He's very, very sharp, if anyone has heard him before. He's going to talk about the effect of grazing on plant growth and development. We'll also hear from Keith Martin, our Wildcat District Livestock Agent, about factors that affect animal intake. Then there will be a farm tour at 12:30. And then Brian, again, will talk about matching forage management to the herd. And then we have an instructor from the University of Missouri. He's the ag business specialist. Wesley Tucker is going to talk about the economics of grazing, and he's also a rock star speaker as well. So there's a good lineup of individuals speaking. So if you're interested in this meeting, you'll want to register by October 19th, and you can call our Altima office at 620-784-5337. Again, that's going to be October 27th. That is a Saturday.
Cool. And is it free of charge? And
well, $20. This one does have a registration fee just to cover kind of the traveling expense, and a meal is provided as well. So
very cool. Yeah.
Some different handouts and things. So.
A little bit of that, certainly. Well, always a good opportunity, you know, when there's speakers, different speakers, just to kind of pick their brains, take down notes, and such like that. So we do have another call. Good morning, caller. Do you have a question for Jacob or Jerry?
I do. I have a poplar tree that I planted this year, and it was a stick when I planted it. It's grown about 10 foot, and it's little. Is there anything I need to do to prep for winter for this little guy?
That plant should prep itself. The one thing you don't want to do is try to encourage any type of active growth in that. In other words, don't fertilize it. Nothing right now. And if the tree is a hybrid poplar, you will enjoy it for a few years, and then it won't look so good. But I'm gonna pop your bubble right now.
Oh no!
Yeah, it's a fast-growing tree. Probably something like an Oss tree, which is a very fast-growing poplar, and it's going to be 15, 20, 30 feet tall in about 5 years, and it's going to look magnificent. And 15 years down the road, you won't like it anymore. So, sorry about that.
Firewood.
Yeah, firewood.
I did notice that there's a ants crawling on it. Is that a concern? Should I try to kill the ants?
No, the ants that we have in this area are not going to attack your tree. Now, there's one ant, a carpenter ant, that is associated with decaying trees. The trees that have a decay column on the inside, the carpenter ant is a selects decayed areas for nest building. And of course, they do not attack a healthy tissue on the tree. They're just going to excavate the decayed area, and it may look threatening, but they do not have any type of negative impact on the tree itself. So the ants that we have, the most common one that is a nuisance ant is the little sugar ant or grease ant, whether some people have this different names for it, and they come indoors and they drive you screwy because you can't get rid of them. Every year, everybody in the spring has those little black ants. Those are crazy ants.
Yep.
Okay.
Awesome. True story. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thanks for calling in. Alrighty, and with that, we're coming up here very close to the top of the hour. We will continue on if you have questions for Jacob or Jerry. Again, phone number is 620-251-6909. Jerry's got some more courses for us that will hit in the 8 o'clock hour, as well as Jacob would like to give you guys more tips on maybe some correct weed killing advice coming up. Again, top of the hour coming up, few commercials in between, news at the top of the hour, and we'll get right back with Wildcat Wednesday after the break.